It's one thing to own land. It's another thing to take good care of the land. We'll focus on that second category today. Land stewardship is our focus. The Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, which often gets called SOREC, I think, serving Jackson County, includes a land stewardship program. It offers training, including some you'll hear about coming up next weekend, and general support for people who want to take better care of the land. Rachel Werling is the land steward coordinator at SOREC and our guest here in the studio on the Jefferson Exchange. Rachel, good to have you here.
A pleasure to be here.
So the land steward program sounds like it could be quite big and varied. What are some of the general thrusts of the program?
Well, this program, it offers an overview as it is. It's about an 11-week course that happens in the fall. And each day we go out for half a day into the field. We have natural resource experts, and we look at all the different kind of facets that you might have on your land if you own a piece of land. So you might have forest, you might have pastures or a stream, a riparian area. And we take each of those topics. We do some background reading. They have online materials. And then we go out in the field and we actually go to sites that are owned by individuals and see some of their kind of challenges and successes and walk through those with our natural resource experts.
So when have you offered conferences like the one coming up next weekend, the Living on Your Land conference?
Yes, this is the sixth year of the Living on Your Land conference.
All right, so the program itself is about 6-7 years old now, too. Is that the land stewardship program?
Yeah, the program itself started in 2009, and the Living on Your Land conference started a little after that.
Mm-hmm. And what led to the creation of the program? I mean, obviously there are lots of people who own chunks of land and often wonder what they could do to be the best stewards of the land. I mean,
yeah.
So right there's that.
Right. So we have a forestry program at SOREC, and we have a small farms program. So this was an effort, really. About 60% of the people who take our course are often they're new landowners. So a lot of people move from other parts of the country. They're unfamiliar with the ecology. Maybe they've lived in the city all their lives, and they buy a piece of property. Sometimes it's a small piece. Sometimes it's hundreds and hundreds of acres. And this is just a really great introduction to sort of what it takes and resources and connections through agencies and different places in the community where you can find the information you need to learn how to steward land. It's also appropriate for people who've owned land because you might own a piece of property but never have had kind of any formal training on, for example, how streams work or how to thin your forest. So there's something for both experienced and new landowners.
It's kind of fun to think about people coming from a big city somewhere and moving onto a piece of land in the region and not really having a great idea what to do next. I mean, so what are some of the first things you tell them?
Well, to start out with, we talk about what stewardship means, and that's really one of the really wonderful things about this program. The people that are drawn to it, kind of through that very word, it's something that goes beyond yourself and your own ownership of the land. There's a sense of continuity with it, that you're kind of a temporary caretaker of this land, and you want to do a really good job by it, but also evaluating your own situation. So what your financial resources are, what your health is. A lot of the folks that take our program are kind of recently retired, and this has been a lifetime dream. So we have help them walk through the steps of sort of evaluating both how their lives are and what are the needs of their land and then make the best choices that they can and connect them with resources that make that good stewardship possible.
Rachel Werling is the land steward coordinator for SOREC, the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, the Extension Service in Jackson County. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Comments, questions, your own issues with your own land, you're welcome to jump into the conversation at 800-838-3760. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Whether you own farmland or forest land or basically have a house on a cliff, I mean, there are some basic things that are common to all that you need to, some basic attitudes. I mean, one of them, obviously, you'd indicated already, the fact that you're not going to own the land forever. It's going to be in somebody else's hands at some point.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. You know, there are a lot of things that go into it. A big one for us in our area is fire. Sometimes folks move here and they haven't lived in an area where fire is such a commonality. So that's often a factor for folks, whether it's a small piece of land and just taking care of what's called the home ignition zone, the area around their home, or if they actually have forestry, usually fire is an issue. Climate is something that is different here. Sometimes folks come from, you know, places like Florida or South Carolina, or like I grew up in Minnesota. So Southern Oregon has a unique climate. So those are things that kind of affect all the different pieces of it. And then this is an overview, kind of an overview of all the different natural resource topics you might have if you have a piece of land. But that ends up being important also, because even though you might have a small piece of land, you're connected throughout the landscape with your neighbors. And that's one of the characteristics that really characterizes the folks that take this too. They have a sense of community and neighborhood. You know, if you do a fuels treatment on your own property, but your neighbor doesn't and a fire comes through, it might not work so well. So there's a real kind of mentoring and outreach amongst their neighbors that folks in this program do.
So they're going to go out potentially and approach their neighbors and talk to them about the common land issues?
Well, it's not a requirement, but we do have a mentor program. So graduated land stewards are available, make themselves available to people who have questions, and they'll often go out to people's sites and, you know, they might say, oh, you know, the banks of my stream are eroding, or could you just kind of walk me through my forest and see what you think. And it's not really giving technical advice, but it's more talking about individual experiences and then connecting people with the technical resources that we have and are available through Oregon Department of Forestry or Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District, things like that.
You said graduated land stewards. So, I mean, is Loyal, this is the Living on Your Land conference coming up on Saturday, April 16th. Is that where they graduate from, or is there a larger program like Master Gardeners?
Yes, there is. It's a program like the Master Gardeners. It starts in the beginning of September, and depending on how the weeks line up, it goes through early December. And it's every week there's a class. So that's the program. That's the training. And then we go into the volunteer period. So there are some hours of volunteer service that are required, like most extension programs. And then folks, actually this class, so our 2015 class will be graduating this spring at the end of June. So they will have given 20 hours of service. Part of that is actually working on the committee to put together this conference. This conference is open to the public. You don't have to be a land steward. It's put together with experienced land stewards, and also this, our land stewards in training, as well as many of these folks that are going to be offering work for agencies or private people who have expertise in areas. Oftentimes folks will come to the conference and then that's where they get an introduction to the land steward program, and then they sign up in the fall and take it. There are a number of people who that's happened for.
There's always a volunteer component. I noticed that. It's like you don't just get to keep what you just learned to yourself. You have to go out and use it on the landscape. And land steward and master gardener, I imagine, yeah. And master recyclers as well.
Yeah, that's right. And the master food preservers program, these extension programs, they really couldn't operate without the volunteer component. I was just reading recently about volunteerism in the United States, and in the 90s and 80s, about 50% of the U.S. citizens volunteered an average of 4 hours a week, and now it has gone down to 25%.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a sharp decline. That's like cut in half.
Yeah, and what I was reading about it was saying that financial stresses are the biggest reason. So you have more single-family homes. You have folks that are two parents working, and they just don't have the time available. In our programs, the majority of them are retired folks who have the time to take these classes during the day or and offer the volunteer opportunity as well, the time component.
We're talking about the Land Steward Program in Jackson County, offered through the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, or SOREC. Rachel Werling runs it for SOREC and is our guest on The Exchange. We're also talking about the Loyal or Living on Your Land Conference coming up next Saturday, April 16th. Join us on The Exchange with your questions about proper stewardship of the land at 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I looked at the classes involved in the Living on Your Land conference for next weekend, and there's so many different disciplines here, from beekeeping to food preservation. So was it about 20 classes in all?
Right, 20 classes. And that is, you asked kind of where did this come from? And our land steward program is different than our other programs because it's sort of more general. It's an overview. And so the programs that are offered really come from a wide discipline. Anybody who owns land, and even urban stewardship, people who live on urban lots and have an interest in sustainable living or planting native plants for pollinators on your urban lot. There are even offerings for that. So it's very varied. That's one of the characteristics of our program.
Is there one thing that has been the hottest session in past years, the thing that people seem to most want to learn about?
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of interest in kind of the background ecology, like the geology program. We have the one that there seems to be a lot of buzz about this year is this Native American land stewardship. I wish I could take that one, but I'm leading the plant walk, so I'll be missing that.
The plant walk sounds fun, though. In fact, I circled that one, not just because you're the one leading it, but because I realized that on the half acre that we own, I could probably point out two tree species. Okay, three. And that's, you really can be around a piece of land a long time and not know a great deal about the stuff that lives there with you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how we can live there and it can sustain us without us really understanding how it works or knowing what's there. I know I titled that one, Getting to Know Your Native Plants. I was thinking of it as getting to know your neighbors. For me, when I walk around, it's like always greeting old friends.
Let's talk about the pollinators and the beekeeping classes. It seems like those have been things that we talk about a lot more as the years go by. Were those the things that were added to the Living on Your Land conference in recent years?
Yes, there is definitely a lot of interest in that, in both of those topics these days. Susie Savoy is leading our Creating Pollinator Habitat, and she has a business called Klamath Siskiyou Native Seeds. So she goes out and sustainably collects native seeds that folks can purchase and use for whether it's restoration or just landscaping plants. So that's going to be a really interesting one. And the bees, of course, those two things go together, the art of beekeeping. There's a lot of interest in beekeeping, and that's something that happens in town. I know my neighbors across the street, I currently don't own large acreage, I'm just in town, but my neighbors have bees, so that's another thing that can be both urban and rural.
I'm glad you brought up the fact that you're just in town, because that was one of the questions I wanted to ask, is what kinds of things can people who do live on fairly small urban or suburban plots do? I mean, you know, you think of land stewards, it's like, I have this great expansive land here. Well, if you have, you know, a corner, you know, just a little chunk of land in the burbs, what's the kind of thing you can think about for stewardship there?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, like we have our Master Gardener program, plenty of people garden. So there's an interest in gardening. You can definitely have your own background composting. Understanding your soils is still really important if you're on a small lot and you want to be growing plants. And our soils are very interesting in this area. Pollinators and beekeepers, that's our urban habitat is actually really important for lots of things, like migratory birds, for example, come through. Mm-hmm. They use our backyards. They use our gardens. We can think about what we're planting there. And these topics, you know, we've talked about having an urban land stewardship program, and I think that there could be a real potential market for that, because I think, 85% of Americans live in town nowadays. So there are a lot of ways that you design your life that have an impact on overall stewardship. I mean, it might just have to do with commuting, for example, those kinds of topics.
Providing bird habitat can be amazing. I was in somebody's backyard years ago who ran a bird store, and they provided so much habitat for the birds. It was like stepping into a different universe. All of a sudden, the place was just alive with tweeting birds.
It is instantly recognizable. I recently changed my office at the SOREC building, and I looked out to the west, and my the plants out there were just low-level plants, and then I changed to a north view that had, you know, structured vegetation where I had trees and shrubs and plants on the ground, and it is just alive. I've had Cooper's hawks come and attack little dark-eyed juncos right there. It's like a whole different world, and it's just around the corner of my building.
Nature playing out its cruel schemes in front
yep.
of you in your office window. You mentioned soil, which is an interesting thing to think about for people who are going to be gardening, particularly on smaller plots, but you can't automatically grow the stuff you want to grow without doing some work, or at least having some knowledge of what it is you're growing it in.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the things with the gardening. That's always one of the first recommendations, is to have your soil tested and see what it is. You can do your own kind of little jar of soil in a bottle to look at it, but actually have a test and find out what nutrients you're missing. But also, depending on what kind of soil it is, I mean, for example, my backyard is decomposed granite, but underneath it is a layer of clay. So I have kind of a spring that comes up in my front yard every winter. It's sort of a problem. But yeah, you need to know those things in order to do the best you can with it.
Now, I notice you're quite clear at the conference for next week and Living on Your Land. There are no walk-ins, so do people have to register today?
Yes, today is the final day. I was excited to get this opportunity to be here today.
All right, so they have to. How do they register for this Living on Your Land conference, and where is it? It's in Grants Pass, right?
So, yes, this year it is happening in Grants Pass, and you need to call the Grants Pass office. They are taking care of the registration for us. So you can call 541-956-7303 to register. So you can pay by phone or pay by credit card if you want.
Right,
at this point today, it would have to be that.
All right, so you can make a reservation over the phone.
Yes.
All right,
mm-hmm.
That's important to know. Okay, and this is all next Saturday, the 16th of April at Rogue Community College, the Redwood campus in Grants Pass?
Correct.
Okay. Good to have you here. Rachel Werling is the Land Steward Coordinator for SOREC, Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center. Pleasure to have you on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck next week with the Living on Your Land conference.
All right, thank you.